You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm speaking to Sylvia Fernandez from VIA Group in our Aiming for Alpha segment as part of our Increasing Productivity series. Today, we're discussing about aligning values. Now, before we get into the topic, we received an email query from an HR manager from our discussion last week on how to get management support in helping their staff rid themselves of negative beliefs and emotions. He said he's worried that senior management thinks it's just one of those rah-rah sessions, Sylvia.
Yes, rah-rah sessions. Okay, this has us thinking about the whole concept of what we call a pre-frame, okay? How do we frame something? How do we, for instance, we're going to our boss to ask for a promotion or to ask for annual leave, okay? We need to frame it in a certain way so that the boss then gets it, okay, in the way that we expect him to. So in this, you know, how do we pre-frame a personal development or professional development session or program? Many people think of them as rah-rah. Okay, the first thing I would say is implication in a rah-rah session is I see a person, a motivational speaker on stage with hundreds or thousands of people listening in. It's a one-way communication. The person speaks and everybody listens. In this instance, in most of our corporate work, it's, you know, maybe a maximum of 50 people. Most of the time it's 20 to 30. Okay, it's an engaged conversation and discussion. It's highly experiential. So if you're thinking, oh, you know, training, oh, wonderful, I'll have 2 days off work and I'll go there and have some free lunches and, you know, take a snooze in the back of the class, it's not one of those things, okay? It's one of those where it's highly experiential. You learn about yourself and people become so engaged that whether you like it or not, you are going to muscle it into your system, okay? We call it taking it from mind to muscle. So taking it from your head into your heart, into your body, okay? So that when you go back to the organization, you can actually do whatever it is you did in the program. It's just so simple. So we give you case studies and all sorts of different experiential situations that, you know, when you go back to your office, you think, oh, wow, I know this. I know exactly where to start and exactly where to end. So I think the HR manager would have to pre-frame it as something that's quite experiential, quite different. It's smaller groups. It's a two-way communication rather than one. And it's definitely not a rah-rah session.
Right. Last week, we also spoke about dealing with negative beliefs and emotions from the past. And this week, we're talking about values. So what are values?
Values, you know, human beings have filters. We have filters when information comes in from the external world, we filter all that information and decide how to process it internally, and then we create, you know, pictures and sounds and feelings inside us. Now, one of those filters are values. Okay, values are our deepest filter. Actually, values are the reason for motivation. So it's a direct link to motivation. If somebody in your department is not motivated, you know, it's 100% a values issue. So all the manager needs to do is understand what values are not aligned within that person or what's not being attended to in terms of values. It's very easy to see. But if someone's a high performer and highly motivated, you know that their values are aligned with the company and with the department and the role that they're in. And that's why they're high flyers. Okay, so values are our deepest motivator. They are our deepest unconscious filter. We filter information from the external world through our values. So you and I may have different values because of the way we were brought up, you know. And so we could be in the same situation and actually create different processing going on inside because our values are quite different. Okay, and create different sounds and pictures and feelings inside us because our values are different. And values are only one of the filters, okay? We have things like time, you know, the decisions that we make, the memories that we have. We have things that we call metaprograms, which are like personality profile, sort of behavioral preferences in layman's terms are also filters, you know? So beliefs are also another filter. So we have different types of filters. Values are the deepest unconscious filter.
Can values change?
Oh, yes, they do. Now, just think about it in this way. As we go through different phases in our lives, our values change. And these happen naturally. So tell me, when you were in your 20s, what sort of values did you have? Were you out there? I know I was out there, you know, really wild. I was at parties and, you know, coming home at 5 a.m. and, you know, things that it didn't matter to me. I thought, save money, forget it. You know, who wants to save money? You know, you kind of think of the present moment. I'm in my 20s. I'm young. I'll do whatever I can. You know, so my values were quite different. Fun was on the top of the agenda. Okay. Today in my 40s, you know, I would say integrity, security, you know, things like that would come up, you know, sense of responsibility, you know, freedom in my job, you know, very different values, you know, and those sorts of things really just occur very naturally when people go from one phase to another in life. So a natural progression would be your values, would you'd have certain values in your adolescence, certain values then change to your 20s, to your 30s, to your 40s, you know, because different things become important to you. So values are what is important to you. Okay, values. Just remember in that, in those simple terms, what's important to you? Okay, and you will elicit a value just by asking that question. What's important to you about your career? What's important to you about family? What's important to you about your relationships? What's important to you about life? You will elicit different types of values, career, life, you know, relationships, family values, just by asking yourself that question.
And it changes with time.
Changes with time because you are in different situations. Different things become important to you as you get older, you know.
And so how are values related to beliefs and emotions?
Values sit right underneath. Okay, just imagine a visual of, let's say, some bricks right at the bottom. Okay, these bricks are really solid and like the foundation. Okay, and on top of those sit beliefs. Okay, and on top of those beliefs sit another layer, what we call goals. So we have goals, okay, but that we set for ourselves, which we will be discussing next week. When we set goals for ourselves, we say, wow, you know, we've got beliefs under that. If I think that I believe that I can do this, I'm going to achieve that goal. Okay, so the beliefs sit under goals, and underneath beliefs sit our values. Okay, so we can have what we call plus or minus values. Okay, in NLP, we call the plus values toward values. So I'll give you an example. If I'm an overweight person, okay, and I say I'd like to be slim, now that's a toward value. But if I said a negative value is an away from, in NLP we call it an away from, so it's away from something, I would say I don't want to be fat. So think about this. I want to be slim. I don't want to be fat. Quite a different picture that's painted in your mind. Now, you have to be very careful about the kinds of pictures we paint, you paint in your mind. Because I don't want to be fat, you're painting pictures of fat in your mind.
So that's the problem.
But I want to be slim is you're painting pictures of slim in your mind. So half the battle is won when you have, when you're painting pictures of slim in your mind, then your unconscious mind says, oh, slim, I understand that because I see a slimmer body. But if I say don't want to be fat, remember we said the unconscious mind cannot process negatives. We did this in the first series. You know, if it can't process negatives, it doesn't understand the word don't. Don't want to be fat, so it says want to be fat.
Oh.
It doesn't understand the word don't. And so the fat pictures come up, right? So this is very important when people have toward or away from values. Okay, and the away from values are set in place by things that have happened in the past. So if I said, oh, Frida, I don't want to be fat. Now, where did that fat thing come from? Okay, it's like glue. It's the negative values are like glue from the past. We've learned how to do that from someone in the past. And last week when we talked about negative emotions and limiting beliefs, all that comes from the past. So what we do is we use values sometimes to flush out these negative and limiting beliefs so that we can then go down the timeline like we talked about last week and clear those.
BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm speaking to Silvia Fernandez from VIA Group in our Aiming for Alpha segment. As part of our Increasing Productivity series, today we're discussing about aligning values. So how do we identify our personal values and motivation?
Okay, a simple question would be, you know, what's important to you about? So let's just talk, since this is in the career or organizational context, let's talk about a career. What's important to you about your career? You may say, well, it's important that I have recognition. It's important that I'm satisfied, satisfaction in my job. It's important that I have freedom, that my boss is kind of, you know, just gives me the job and runs away and lets me do it. It's so you see, I've already mentioned three: recognition, satisfaction, and freedom. Now, if somebody said money, what's important to you about your career? And the person says money. Now, money is not a value. Okay, a value is something abstract that is non-physical, that you cannot hold in your hand. It's a big word. It's an abstract word. So if the person says money, then you say, well, I can touch money. That means you know you haven't got to a value yet. All right, so the next question is, if you have money, What does that provide you with? So once I've got money, it might say, prosperity or satisfaction. Okay, now you've got two values, all right? So it's important for you when you are eliciting your values or somebody else's values to understand that values are an abstract word. So, your career values may be quite different to my career values, okay? And the next step is to understand the depth of values because, people can say, I know my values, but they may give you three. Now, those three are actually sitting in your conscious level of your mind, okay? And those are the ones you are aware of. However, the ones that are really driving you are the ones that are down, somewhere down there, okay? And, those are the ones you want to know.
And how do you dig down?
You just dig. You just ask the same question and allow that person to go inside and just, sometimes it takes time, sometimes there's a bout of silence, this is what we do in coaching. We just zip our mouths. We ask that same question, what's important to you about your career? And more and more and more, suddenly the person gets a burst of another three or six, that will just come out. And so we kind of get to about 10 to 13 and we realize that sometimes the ones right at the bottom are the ones that are actually driving you, that are the most important ones.
Are the real ones.
The real ones.
And it's interesting that you should bring that up because you can ask these questions about your career, about your family, about relationships, right? So then you can identify what your values are for each of these areas.
Yes, and in fact more. So if you think about what's, in the context of a human being, what are the different contexts of human beings? We've got things like family, we've got relationships with friends, colleagues, whoever. We've got spirituality is also important to human beings, whether that is religion or a spirituality of some sort. What else? Career, okay. What else is important?
Finance.
Yes, exactly. Health.
Fitness.
Wealth creation, fitness, all of that, right? Now, you can actually elicit values for each one of these contexts, okay? You will find that as you come up with your list of values for each context, you will find that there are some common ones that run across all of these contexts. Okay, so if integrity runs through, it's a common thread that runs through, or happiness is a common thread that runs through all of these contexts, then you know that as a human being, those are your core values. So in whatever context, these 3 to 5 values are your core values. It doesn't matter what context, these are the things that really motivate you.
Are there right or wrong values?
There's no such thing. It's what's important to you as an individual at that time. So in the context of right or wrong, well, I think for the person, if they knew what their values were, then they would immerse themselves in a situation or context that fits their values. Do you understand what I'm saying? The values that you have today may not be the same values that you have, 20 years later or 10 years or even 5 years later. So what do you do as an individual? Your responsibility is to immerse yourself into a situation where your values fit. So, for instance, joining the right organization where the values of that organization are aligned with your personal values. Okay. Now, if you join the wrong organization, whose fault is it? Is it yours or the organization's? I would say it's yours because you have chosen to go into that organization, okay? And if things don't work, your productivity is wavering, not as great as it could be, then it's your responsibility to say, hey, I think my values are not being fulfilled here and therefore I know I'm in the wrong job or in the wrong situation or wrong context. It's time for me to go look for the right context.
The reason I'm asking that is because if you say there are no right or wrong values and somebody says greed is a value, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's no right or wrong.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Because for that person, it's right. For that person, they're getting something out of it. Okay. It's because values translate into behaviors. Yeah. We are motivated by certain things. I mean, this financial crisis, guess what? What value has been overriding this whole last few years is greed. The value of greed. And what happened to the value of trust? Completely disbanded with, completely out the door. So what are we doing now? What is our biggest gap that we have? People like me, what's my job right now in the world is to help people and organizations close that gap between migrating from greed to trust. Now, trust was inherent in organizations for years, and it still is in many organizations that are unscathed today, who are reaping the benefits of that, of treating their people right, of inculcating trust in the organization, which is what we talked in series one. We talked about this, didn't we? You know, so the long-term sustainable benefits are being reaped by the companies who actually employed that mindset. But the ones who said, ha, who cares about trust? Let's go for greed. You know, that's more exciting. Yeah, it is more exciting. But look at where it's ended up.
BFM 89.9, I'm speaking to Silvia Fernandez from VIA Group in our Aiming for Alpha segment. As part of our Increasing Productivity series, today we're discussing about aligning values. So how do we take this and align these with corporate values?
Yes. So as I said before, important for you when you go into an interview or even before that to do your research on the organization you wish to join. You know, what are their values? If it's not displayed on a website or not available, ask at the interview. You know, what are your company's values? Because as much as the interviewer is interviewing you to give you a job, you know, you are interviewing the company people as well to find out if this is the right place that you want to join and work, you know, for the next few years or however many years you want to work for. So it's just as important for you to ask the right questions. So because if your values, personal values, are aligned with the company values, you become a high flyer. You just enjoy being there. If your value is fun, your personal value, and the company really believes in that. You know, just take Virgin Airlines, for instance. You know, one of their strongest values is fun. You can get that the minute you step on their plane. I mean, they joke with you on the PA system. They're just wonderful. They're joking with you. They're laughing. And you feel so relaxed. You feel, you know, and you notice that the people who join Virgin are people where fun is important. So they have a great time. You know, it's like working, not really working. It's like a hobby, you know. So you see, when you join the right organization, that's when people become high flyers. So the responsibility, I think, and the onus is on the individual. You know, what organization do I join? Who do I want to work for? Sometimes within an organization, there could be a varying number or sets of values within one organization, okay? Because different departments may have, it could be legacy issues. You know, it come from many years ago from mergers, acquisitions, and those old cultures still haven't gone. You know, values are still there. But hopefully, you know, at a core level that the organization has some core values that will, you know, spring forward, you know, people who want to, you know, do, well, better in their lives.
And values transcend personalities. What I'm saying is that you have different personalities working with a company like, say, Virgin, right? Mm. It doesn't matter what personalities, but the values, so long as the values are in place.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Exactly right.
And so how can organizations identify their corporate values?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, generally when we do this, we like the idea of setting up values in an organic fashion. So if the company is young and they haven't quite got their values in place yet, then we would take a splatter of people from different tiers of the organization so that you have a buy-in from junior levels all the way up to senior levels. And we ask the same question, you know, what's important to you about this company, about your role, about your career, you know, things like that. So we start to elicit values at different levels, okay? And then we realize that over time, there is a commonality or a trend or a pattern of values emerging, whether it's the junior levels, the middle levels, the senior levels, everybody's got some kind of a pattern or trend. And we put it all up on flip charts and we notice that, we're all saying the same thing on 1, 2, 3 values. Okay, so this maybe is, you know, our core values in the organization. What else, you know? So then some organizations choose to have 3, some, you know, choose to have 5. So we like, you know, organically coming up with a set of values for the company. So that way, everybody in the company can say, hey, I had something to do with this. Or even if you were not part of that, at least one of your colleagues at your level was. And, you know, that kind of communicating and cascading down the information will come from one of your colleagues. So there's almost 100% buy-in. And it's so much easier when everybody in the company really believes in that, because it is the reality of what's happening in the workplace, okay, as opposed to, you know, senior management getting together and saying, oh, you know, we like these values, and then we'll plot 3 or 5 values down and then put it up in a poster and put them up on the walls. But nobody really knows how they got to it. Nobody really understands them. No one really has this sense of belonging because they were not part of that process. Now, if you're talking about, you know, companies that have been around for a long time, you know, like banks like the Hong Kong Bank or Standard Chartered or, you know, large banks or corporations, you know, it's not really possible to sort of say, well, we're going to, you know, review our values and you know, rejig and, you know, get it set up organically, because they are already a brand, a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi. You know, you already know when you look at that brand or you hear their name, they already have inculcated their sense of values. So in that sense, when the brand is mature, you know, values go with that. So part of the branding process, you know, is to inculcate that sense of vision and mission and core values. All that becomes part of the brand. So if the brand is already mature, values tend to stay the same.
With that, thank you, Sylvia. BFM 89.9, I've been speaking to Sylvia Fernandez from Via Group in our Aiming for Alpha segment.
BFM 89.9, the business station.